I'd like to share a revelation that I've had during my time here. It came to me when I tried to classify your species. I realized that you're not actually mammals. Every mammal on this planet instinctively develops a natural equilibrium with the surrounding environment, but you humans do not. You move to an area and you multiply and multiply until every natural resource is consumed. And the only way you can survive is to spread to another area. There is another organism on this planet that follows the same pattern. Do you know what it is? A virus. Human beings are a disease, a cancer of this planet. You are a plague, and we are the cure.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Douglas after one and how much is that? Maybe
two.
Let's call it two beers.
And this is Damien.
Back again.
Yes. Still no Facebook, still no Twitter. You guys were crushed last week.
We were. Or at least I was. I can't talk for Andrew, but
just to let you know, Damien, yes. Where is this? There was a tweet from our soccer jersey this week.
Uh-huh.
And his tweet was, first of all,
It was
first
hilarious.
Right after the show, his name changed to Fake Damien White and put up an avatar of Dollhouse in which it says something about Echo. But his tweet this week, which included us, was, I don't know how it happened, but DJR lost his name, Douglas, got all the sense God intended at G-Man Reviews.
No. You know which one was my favorite? My favorite tweet was, it went something along the lines of, I was dreaming of Dollhouse.
I was thinking about Joss Whedon a while ago, but then I cancelled those thoughts. Dark blue for the week. Really, I want to know who this is, because it has to be someone who knows you.
It's John.
That's what I was thinking, because he was talking to me on Facebook about how I was the reason why he's not getting any podcast to listen to. John, like,
it's good stuff.
John, who is this?
He went to school with us.
Yeah, I went to school with us.
I still remember that Monopoly game.
That's how Monopoly ends, damn it.
Does this third beer taste weird? Oh, you haven't reached.
I haven't reached number three yet.
My third tastes a little bit weird.
Yeah, it tastes like beer.
No, it tastes sweeter than the other two.
Yeah, that's how beer works. It gets better over time.
Anyways, let's get to what we've been watching this week. Damien.
So this will be short. I watched 30
you
Rock.
You too, huh?
No, that's it.
That's it.
Literally, I started at season one. Like, I'd seen...
Hold on, I've seen
some of, like, most of season three and, like, couple episodes here and there. And I decided, you know what? Now that I have them in high def, so I should watch this again.
Always a thing to me. Damien watch a show. He has it in high def.
Yeah, and it is A, beautiful. And B, like, it's really funny.
You watch the one with the dentist?
Yeah.
I think that's tail end, that last like, 30 seconds is probably the funniest bits I've seen from a show.
Okay. With that, I guess we can.
Yeah, I guess.
Wow. That was quick. Okay, well, I guess keeping
it's
with
awesome.
The length. The
brevity.
No, mine is short
sure
as well,
not
actually.
Guilty because you came late.
No, seriously. Seriously, like, literally, like, every time I went home, I literally just turned on 30 Rock and just had it go. Episode. And that's how I got through How I Met Your Mother. I just went home, like, it's all queued up, and as soon as the computer turns on, it just launches XBMC and it runs the script, bam. Continue.
This beer is really It's dark. It's like, yeah, taste it. Oh. If it's bubbling up like that, usually it's not that great.
So it don't taste too different. Yeah. Mm.
It doesn't? You don't think so?
That's because it's his second beer.
This is true. Okay, anyway. Alright, so I'll talk about mine. And as with Damien, mine, this is pretty short this week as well. But I have more than one. And none of them are shows. And most of them are foreign.
Oh, wait, sorry. Uh-huh. I finally saw Bull Durham.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's baseball.
So no comments, no positive comment.
All right. I'm going to just roll out the cliches here. It's really well made, well directed, great acting. It's me circling around the fact that it's about baseball. I don't care.
Damn it! Not even the.
I mean, it's good.
That's the I believe speech.
All right, look. The movie's good, right? I'm not going. I'm not going to say the movie's terrible or whatever. But I mean. There's no connection for me because baseball is a stupid sport.
it's like you can ignore the baseball part.
It's kind
of
hard.
Kind of like, you know what? I'm not giving much.
Fair.
I'm sorry for trying.
No, it was a good movie. I just never watch it again. I will remember. I didn't even remember it.
I looked at Amazon and apparently it's coming out on Blu-ray next month.
Maybe that will make me like it, but could see it properly. I'm sure we won't. Right.
Anyways, Douglas.
All right. So okay, what did I watch this week? This week, I watched. The movie I've been wanting to watch for a long while is me and Orson Welles. Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I don't know if that's a laugh of Damien has watched it.
It's the laugh of someone saying they wanted to watch a Zac Efron movie for a long time.
Dude. You know what it is?
That's so not 30.
Zac Efron is really good. No, forget that. This is not, to me, this is not a Zac Efron movie.
Sure.
To me, this is a Richard Linklater film.
He's Zac Efron's in it, right?
Fuck you.
I'm sure 10 years ago you would have said Ethan Hawke's in that movie, isn't he?
Wow. Oh, that's messed up. Yeah, but I probably have said that.
So, shut
You're
up.
You're right.
Nicely placed.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, Richard Linklater directed it, mm-hmm. who I love only because, of course, of Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy in, you know, before and after and in between.
There's Dazed and Confused
Sunset.
As well.
I know, there is Dazed and Confused. Actually, I've
and
seen...
There's High School Rock. I can't remember. Rock?
School of Rock,
but I don't like that movie.
I
hate
it. Just because like
but
it.
No, he's done a lot of other stuff, too. He's done Waking Life, which is fairly decent. I admit I haven't watched the whole thing yet, but I really like it. And there's also the other one just like that, which is Keanu Reeves and Robert Downey Jr. and Woody Harrelson. But that I haven't watched, and that again I want to watch because it's a Linklater film. But anyway, this one I did watch, me and Orson Welles, and it was pretty decent. The guy that played Orson Welles was fantastic. Zac Efron was not horrible. He was, you know, he was what he was supposed to be, and he played it well. And thing there was in it, Claire Danes was in it, and she was really good, really good looking as well as usual. And I don't know, the story was great, and it was kind of, I don't know, every time I saw the movie, and Zac Efron's name in the movie is Richard, and I was like, I wonder if he's trying to personify himself as, like, you know, going
his way of getting into theater.
Yeah, almost, yeah, but it's clearly, it can't be factually correct, because Orson Welles was around in, what, the 30s?
Well, that's when his fame was, I don't know when he died.
Yeah, and Linklater is like 40, so it's physically it's not possible for this to be a true story.
You'd have to be a baby.
Exactly. But I remember through the movie I was like, I wonder if that Richard is really Richard. But no, it's not. So yeah, this was a really good movie. I really liked it. Don't know if I'd buy it though, but fun to watch, and I watch it again.
It's a rent.
It's a
totally
rent. It's definitely a rental.
Don't believe it either.
No, I guess maybe I should have started it because these three movies that I watched, there was a bad one, an okay one, and well, not okay, a decent one, and a really, really good one. So I should have probably started with the bad one, but
no,
you know, both of these now are French movies I'm getting into. The first one is Happenstance, and that was really bad. It was an early Audrey Tautou film.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like The Butterfly Effect. But no, sorry, I shouldn't say that. It describes that whole effect. It's about that effect.
For some reason, when you just said The Butterfly Effect, I immediately thought of Diving Bell and The Butterfly.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, essentially. So this movie
I
is about
like The Butterfly Effect.
I know you do, and you're crazy.
You're
yes,
wrong.
Exactly. So okay, it's kind of based on the actual effect, but it's not anything like that movie.
Okay.
What it is that there's this guy, and he's married, but of course he also has a lady on the side.
Yeah, he's French.
Duh. And so he's in Paris. She's somewhere in the country, and he has to decide whether he's going to stay with his wife or he's going to stay with his girlfriend. And when he decides that, he has to decide, am I going to tell my wife or am I going to tell my girlfriend what happens? Right? And he's kind of a coward in the sense that he sets out to do these things. Like, first he sets out to tell his wife and to leave his wife, and then he doesn't. And then he sets out to tell his girlfriend and to leave his girlfriend. And
that does not matter.
I don't know, essentially what happens is about half an hour into the film,
mm-hmm.
he decides, after he's decided, I'm not really going to tell my wife, and I'm probably not going to leave her, but we'll see what happens. He says to himself, okay, I'm going to leave this thing up to, I guess you can call it fate. And he's sitting in like a park with him on the bench, and then there's a bench beside him with another guy, and the guy keeps throwing like pebbles at some sort of sculpture that has a hole, and clearly he's like trying to score it. And he says, okay, if the guy scores the next one, I'm going to tell my girlfriend. And then it starts to get a little bit weird, because now there's kind of like this voyeur, like supernatural voyeur kind of guy that says, wait, stop, I think that he is going to do this if you do that, so don't, if you think you're going to actually score it, don't score it, miss. And he's like, okay, whatever, and he misses, and so everything ensues from there. And it's kind of
like to tell you, you lost me right there.
essentially,
I think that's probably why the movie isn't that good.
Yeah, the movie isn't that good, because it's kind of...
The second you have to introduce someone to explain the effect.
And like, he does explain it. He's like,
he's
the
tour guide to the effect.
Mm-hmm.
You go, yeah, this is...
And not only that, right? Not only that's not the only stumbling point. There's another stumbling point in the fact that the director tries to tell separate stories that are interlinked all at the same time, and that culminate in whatever happens in the end of the movie.
So, do you think they try to take the uncertainty route?
Did you watch that movie?
The movie It's All About Sis.
Yes.
Not Snake.
Cobra Commander. By the way, did you like that movie at all?
Okay. It was good.
That movie was awesome.
Still haven't watched it.
Oh man. Anyway.
Cobra?
He kind of oversold it. But,
I know.
It was still good.
He saw Cobra and went, yes.
Right. And put a smile on my face.
But no, not quite like that. That is.
No, I'm saying if they took it that route, would it have been made for a better movie?
I don't know. I kind of wanted them to take that route, because whenever you have a movie like this where there is, like you say, uncertainty, and you know that there are two distinct paths that you could take, you always want to know what could happen in path one and what could happen in path two. And in this case, they didn't do that. They were just like, this is the path I'm going to steer him towards, and we're going to see where this path leads, and that's it. So there was no sliding doors, there was no uncertainty, it was just, this is the path we're going to go down. And that was kind of annoying. But there were a few fun things in there. Like, there was this one character that I really liked. He was really annoying in the movie, but at the same time I liked his addition, what he brought to the film. And he was like this pathological liar. And he just kept lying. It was horrible. Like, you saw somebody tell him something, and then he'd be like, oh yeah, sure. And then he goes and he says the complete opposite to the next person, and it's just weird. He's just weird. But I did like him in the movie, and that was about the most enjoyable part, I thought, about this film.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not going to recommend this to anybody.
Was there another movie?
There was another movie.
Is this the really
there
good
was
one?
An excellent movie.
Can I fall asleep now?
This excellent movie was made by another Audrey Tautou link, Jean-Pierre Junot, who directed her in two movies previously.
Every Frenchman named Pierre.
Exactly. Whatever. JPJ directed Audrey Tautou in her first breakout film, which was Amélie.
Oh,
and then he directed her.
Amélie.
And then he directed her in A Very Long Engagement. But this has nothing to do with Audrey Tautou. She's not in this film.
Did he do The Delicatessen as well?
He did.
Okay, just making sure.
He also did another movie that I really want to watch. About the children or Town of the Children or something like that. I can't remember. But it's supposed to be really good. So I'm definitely going to watch it. But anyway, this movie that I saw was his latest film, Micmax. And that movie,
I've been told by people to watch it,
was really good. It was everything that you would expect from the man that directed Amélie. It was beautiful. It
weird.
Was weird.
So breaking out the Gilliam moment, where are we?
How many G's do I have to play with?
Ten.
Wow. Okay.
No, this movie was, it was really odd, but at the same time, it wasn't like Amélie kind of had a story, but it wasn't.
Kind
of
had a story.
Amélie's fantastic. I love it.
So it wasn't like Amélie in the sense that the story was secondary. It was, the story was very much at the forefront, though it was a very odd story. So what happens is that this guy, his father is killed in the army in, I don't know if it's a war, but he was somewhere in the desert and a mine killed him. So whatever that is. And him as a boy, he gets sent, I guess, him and his mom get sent his personal things, and along with it, for some reason, this is a movie, we're going to forgive it, is, I guess, a picture of the mine that blew him up, or the type of mine. It can't be the real mine, because the mine fucking blew up. But, and you see the logo of who made it and stuff. And then it fast forwards to the future when he's, like, you know, an adult himself, and he gets shot in the head by accident. And it turns out the bullet that went into his head was made by the same people that made the mine.
Of course it was.
Of course, yeah. Okay, so what happens is that essentially this film is like him getting back at them, because he gets shot in the head and he loses his job because of it. He loses his house because of it, and so he has to live with these guys, the Slide Whistle Micmac Circus.
They look like a circus.
Yeah.
In
yeah, they do. But they're not a circus. It's like, what they are is kind of like a band of people who, I guess they don't live on the street because they live in that little hovel, but they are on the streets, and that's how they make their living. You know, they like find objects and recycle them or whatever, right? Like, and each of them is like a distinct person. Like, there's one contortionist and there's one artist that makes fancy things dance around.
Of course.
It's, I don't know, it's
makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense, of course.
Met people like that.
But he meets these people and these people decide to help him.
As if there's one thing we know about people.
They're very, very helping, yes. So they help him in his quest to kind of get back at these people. These
sometimes I wish life was
these
like
these gun makers.
So it's shoot 'em up.
No, it's not shoot 'em up though. It's like I will defeat the people that are shoot 'em up by making fancy creative things. But yeah. it really at its core, it's
well
almost like a heist movie. But
you should have started with that.
Damon would have wanted to watch it.
Yeah, you should have started with that.
But that's what this is at its core. And even though a lot of the artistry and visuals, I don't want to say get in the way, but kind of obfuscate that, it really is a movie about settling a score. And it's not a serious film about settling a score. It's not like,
we're not going to talk
about it here, but it's not like,
it's not Kill Bill.
Yeah, it's not Kill Bill.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, a PG version.
A PG version of Kill Bill. Alright, so it's a revenge flick slash heist.
Yeah.
Made by the dude that made Amelie. So, yeah. Maybe I can. Maybe I'll watch it. Sounds interesting.
So, alright, what did I watch this week? Unlike you guys, I have a lot to say.
Oh, I wonder why that is.
Because I'm jobless.
Ah! So you're going to end up like the dude.
Did you watch that movie, you bastard? I still want to watch that movie.
So before I get into the movies, I watched
that. That works great for radio.
I know.
You bastard. Before I get into the movies, I watched
it. You guys can just guess, because I'm not going to tell you. You know what? Guess what it is, and if you get it right, I'll send you a
gift. Actually, you know what? I want them to guess while they're at it? What shirt you're wearing.
Haha,
that would totally work. I finished season one of Dark Blue, and even though I would admit the show got better than the first episode, it still remains completely cliche. And I think it has to do with the fact that I'm kind of over procedurals. There are very few procedurals that I actually want to watch continuously. I mean, I've got into the CIA guy dude one, Burn Notice, and I've now got into Justified, but there are very few procedurals today that I really want to sit down and watch. And it really disappointed me towards the end during the last episode of the season, where I wanted it to become the end of the show, where they eventually call it the Dean and Carter show, and just let the other two go away and go, because they leave the door open for the story to end there. And I feel I would have liked it more if they had ended it there, but then I guess they realized, ooh, we get another season, and they just wrote them back in, and it'll be more I'm undercover every week kind of thing. And I'm not going to knock anyone who likes it, because I mean, procedurals exist. I mean, it's Law and Order.
Look, you wouldn't be Andrew if you liked it as much as me. You're a weird person.
Also, I watched the first three episodes of this new TV show called Louis. The new show by Louis C.K.
I love him.
Why?
He's so funny.
Why?
And I do not really like this show.
I watched the first episode of The School Bus. Awesome.
Is it good? I watched the first episode, listen to me.
Look,
Louis C.K. is not funny.
You are.
Or at least, no.
You're
wrong.
You know what?
Stop. I will not say that he's not funny on stand-up, because I have to admit I've never watched him stand-up. But
Lucky Louie was essentially stand-up.
Lucky
Louie
was horrible.
You're wrong.
It was awful.
Hello.
And the only thing that is probably good from that movie, I mean that show, the only good that came from that show was the fact that his wife in that show got another job in
Californication.
That's the only good thing that came up, because she is funny.
So you're wrong. But I've always known that you don't have any. You don't know what comedy is. You like Dane Cook, so I'm ignoring you. Right,
I'm going to keep pulling that card.
Yeah, he said it out loud. How am I supposed to react to that? I like Dane Cook. Really? Really? He said that. I was here.
Anyways, Louis, I'm not really a fan of the show.
I love it.
But you see, herein lies the thing. I do like something of the show. And it's every time that it's actually just him doing stand-up. And I think he is a funny guy.
No, but basically the situations
it's exactly what he's talking
exactly.
about. But I don't know, it's just something. And the funny part was, I read this interview on Film School Rejects, where he spoke to Louis C.K. about the show and how he filmed it. And it shows true in the actual show, in that he had no permission when he was shooting the show. They just gave him the money and said, film me how many episodes, and he did it. And he didn't even have a full season or a full episode written down when he went to film. He would just like write something down and be like, alright, we'll film this one tomorrow, and he'd film it. And that's how the show works, in that he has a little comedy sketch for 2 minutes, which is awesome, a comedy bit, and then he has a sketch relating to that comedy bit, which
it's also
hit and miss. I watched the latest episode, which has Ricky Gervais in it, and he's funny in the sketch that he's in. And I even found it sad that in the third episode, which aired, I think it was yesterday, on FX, it almost repeated a comedy bit that he had in a previous episode, and there are only three episodes in, which seemed kind of sad.
Yeah, So
when it comes to comedy, I don't trust you guys at all.
I'm willing to throw this show out of the water and just find more of his stand-up.
I don't trust. I'm pretty sure I have all his stand-up, and I'll follow that dude to the end of the earth. He is hilarious. I enjoy Lucky Louie too much, as a matter of fact.
You do
too much. Too much. Jesus.
Yes,
guys, hilarious. I'm with you.
Lucky Louie's funny.
That guy is hilarious.
Oh yeah. Also, something in me just made me do it, and I've started to watch anime again.
Good luck with that. There's this new
show that I started to watch called High School of the Dead, and yes, it's a zombie show, and episode one is cliché-itis.
It's an anime. I'm pretty sure.
No, but zombie cliché-itis.
I'm pretty sure when you look on the anime, cliché is there. But you see,
herein lies the thing that I want to talk about. Like, anime, I get it. Action. Must take 5 episodes to have a fight scene. But one thing I just can't get is how in shows where they have all of this violence and all of this story and everything, why is it that they have to have this inclusion of this almost perverted nature to Japan randomly in episodes? Like, it's not porn, but at the same time, randomly they have to have a camera right underneath the girl that has a short skirt.
You do realize that they're outnumbered. Men outnumber women a great deal over there, right?
So you do realize that in cartoons there are no cameras, right?
It's male.
Tell that to Pixar.
That's,
I think so, Pixar knows already.
Look, there are a lot of men living over there, and it's fantasy. I'm pretty sure most of the people working on the anime are. It's the same thing with video games. Look at all the females in video games. Do they look like regular people? No. And there's a reason for that.
Why can't they just have the porn section?
Look, if you get 200 guys working on a project and there's going to be some female in there, guaranteed it's not going to be true to life.
I mean, I'm waiting for more episodes to say for sure whether I like it or not, but right now I'm willing to continue. But as I said, like,
it's your fault for watching. You're a grown man.
Know that you're going to be seeing a lot of random hentai style filming going on here. Yeah. So Sailor Moon, yeah.
Okay.
Anyways,
thanks for reminding me about that.
Getting into movies is sweet.
I never did watch that, actually.
Why on earth?
I saw The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
2009 Swedish film.
I have it.
That's going to be remade by David Fincher, apparently. One. For next year. And it's really an awesome movie. Like, it is one of the few thrillers that actually thrill you as you are watching the plot go through.
No, I'm going to leave it.
By the way,
do you know the history about the movie or about the story?
Is there something more to the story?
It's the first. It started from a book, and it's the first of a trilogy. But no, that's essentially the big part of the.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the story is based on this thing that was with the writer or something.
It's not really based on this thing, or at least not that I know of. But there is, I guess, an interesting fact about it that the writer Starkson.
I don't know his name. Move on.
Stig Larsson is his name. He actually wrote these books and then died. Like, so. I think that he still has another book coming out on Foolishness, but I think a lot of his books, like the second and the third in this trilogy or something like that, all came out posthumously. How do you pronounce that word? After he died.
Yes.
Right.
Post-death.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's a really awesome movie.
You said the thriller thrilled me.
And the characters, especially Elizabeth, was really great.
The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah. And
she has that name. That's impressive.
Yeah, Elizabeth. And what I really enjoyed about this movie, while I was watching it, I was like, I could totally see Fincher remaking this into a really good movie. Like, even, I mean, we like to talk about,
whoa, that's horrible.
Wow. Yeah.
He's watching a movie and he's like, this is not that great, but that's the worst
fake praise written all over. Like, this movie is good, you know. But if only Fincher could get a then we could have something here. It's mediocre nonsense. Could be good.
It was not mediocre, it is awesome.
I mean, we like to talk about how remakes.
Yeah, then if it's good. So awesome, why remake it? Why? What if he Fincher is going to take it and then he's going to remake? He's going to Fincherize it and it won't be as good.
All right, question. Mm-hmm. I've seen this all over the internet. When these characters are made in all sorts of properties, like let's take for example Mario. Everyone knows Mario from Super Mario Brothers,
mm-hmm.
and you've played the video games, you've seen the stupid movie with uh-huh. what's his name, and you see artists all over the internet making their own versions, drawing of Mario, mm-hmm. and I mean some of them are really cool, but at the same time you don't go and say it's not the original, and at the same time you don't discredit the original for how the new one looks, and that's what I'm kind of
apples. Thinking. And oranges. That's what you're comparing.
That's here, like so. Comparing. That's like even when we talk about film, there's Tim Burton's Batman and there's Chris Nolan's Batman.
Right. So there's good Batman.
And that's apples and oranges.
And mediocre Batman.
You can tell that both are awesome, but at the same time, you feel that they're different.
Right.
And that's how
they,
I kind
right.
of feel about
but
the idea
the thing
of
about it is,
this
movie. The thing about it is, they are different because. One is not a remake of the other.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, yes, you could argue that the first Batman by Tim Burton was the first installment in the story up until the point of Joel Schumacher and George Clooney. And that Batman Begins is the first installment of this new version of Batman. But if you look at Batman Begins, it's not the even remotely... close to the story that was in the
Batman
first Batman.
And the Dark Knight.
And
no,
because those are still the Joker stories.
Well, no, okay,
yeah,
that's looking at one specific detail.
It's,
what really the Dark Knight is, the Dark Knight is really simply a continuation of what he started with.
Alright, Andrew, let me in film, when they remake things, especially this one, because it's based off a book, he's going to remake the movie based on that same book. There's only so many ways he's going to deviate from what the first film did.
Yeah, you know
if
what?
He does deviate any at all, right? With games and with the Batman, right? It was just the character. That was the only constant. They said, this is Batman, right? And he had to tell a new origin story just to get out of people's mind what the Batman previous was. So that is reboot. Is completely different from remake. The movie with Chris Rock a while ago.
Oh, a funeral. That's
a funeral. That's the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same movie, right? It was a remake. It wasn't a reboot. They didn't take the characters from Death at a Funeral and try to put them in another context. No, they gave you the same movie again, and that is what Fincher is going to do. He's going to give us this movie. In America.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very... I mean, I'm not trying to knock Fincher. Because he's really good. But he's going to give us the same movie again.
So I still want to see it.
Thank you, Andrew. I don't want to see it.
Those are the words of a man whose argument has been defeated.
What else did I see? I saw Death Becomes Her, which is a Robert Zemeckis film starring Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn, and Bruce Willis. And
I love that movie.
Me too.
I don't remember if it's good or bad, but I love that movie.
It's such a over-the-top funny. Because, I mean, it's about women who grow old and then
mm-hmm.
take this potion which
yes.
makes them young again, but
yep.
then it kills them, makes them quote-unquote... I would like to think of them as zombies.
Yeah.
And Bruce Willis is a mortician, but he starts out as a plastic surgeon. And, I mean, I just love Bruce Willis in those roles where he's constantly...
He's not diehard.
He's constantly flustered in scenes where he's seeing all of these things happen and he doesn't know what to do, so he just goes insane and starts shouting at people, and it's really, really funny.
That's the thing about Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is a really good action star, but what a lot of people don't give him credit for is that he's a really good comedic actor. Yes. So I mean that, like, I agree with you. I think that movie is fantastic. I didn't remember the name of it, but I remember when you were started to describe the movie to me, and I was like, oh, I know that film. That one's awesome.
And Meryl Streep is hilarious.
Thank
she
you.
Knows, she knows when to be funny. Like, just seeing things like when she just takes a potion and Bruce Willis pushes her down the stairs, and when she's hanging on, like in the middle of almost falling down and saying, please save me. Like, that look on her face, it's priceless. Goldie Hawn, on the other hand, I've never really liked her that much, but she's okay, I guess. Like, I kind of feel like maybe if I went back and I saw her earlier stuff when she was supposed to be pretty or something. I don't even know if she was pretty back then.
People no, she was. She. But
she looked just like Kate Hudson, to tell you the truth. Almost.
Except she had burst. Kate Hudson does not.
Yeah, Kate Hudson doesn't have much boobage.
Goldie Hawn had breast weight.
More than Kate Hudson.
That's her. Really.
Talk about the size of women's breasts.
Yes.
That's
what happens when you put three men in a room.
That's when I've got three bears in me, okay?
What else am I supposed to talk about?
Anyways, also, I saw A Serious Man for the first time.
Read it right.
I saw A Serious Man.
Read it right.
It stars Colin Firth and Julia.
Good work.
I
love both those movies.
You know, I've seen neither of them. I really want to watch them.
Yes, it's A Single Man I'm talking about. This movie is kind of awesome, except it ends 2 minutes too late. And Damien, who's seen it, will know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't want to give it away, but personally, like, it's just a personal preference. I would have felt better if they had ended it 2 minutes earlier. They didn't need to do what they did in those last 2 minutes. Like, that's what I wanted. I didn't want... I can't even say what it is. I don't want to spoil it for Douglas.
Because I would kill you.
It's not a spoil. Like, we're saying it, but the second you start watching this film,
you know exactly what happens. Okay.
Those 2 minutes for me is what makes it, is what downgrades this movie from a total buy to a rent.
Handbrake, that's all I have to say.
No, all sorts of things are going to go through my mind. Like, did he crash and he should have used his handbrake, or did he use his handbrake and crash because of it?
What
or?
Struck me really intensely in this film was the direction. It's the
use of color in this movie.
Yeah, the use of color. It's the
phenomenal
debut of Tom Ford. Is he related to John Ford?
I have no idea.
He's a fashion designer. He's Henry. Anyways. And it's his first film, and he does a lot of these things where Colin Firth will be looking at, let's take for example a rose, and you'll see him look at it, and then suddenly the color will just brighten.
My favorite scene, hands down, he's inside a bank and he's sitting down hating himself, and every time he's going through the mundane portions of his life, the color literally drains out of the screen. And then his next door neighbor, there's this little girl that walks up to him, and literally everything around her, like,
just brightens.
Just blooms into color. It is so awesome. Oh my goodness.
If there was ever was a movie to be seen in 1080p,
oh Jesus,
it's this movie.
And I have it. Beautiful, beautiful, high definition.
What I also thought really funny was when we spoke about the trailer for this movie, I remember I was like, we had no clue what it was about. And I remember even thinking to the point how the trailer was cut up that maybe this guy is some secret CIA agent who's off to kill people. But really, what the movie's about.
That movie, it should have been about that.
It's about
it been like a billion times more
this,
awesome.
This professor at this university whose lover has died recently, and it's about him getting through the day, like realize his depression getting through that day. I'm not spoiling anything yet, sir.
Julianne Moore, she is tremendous, and it proves that when you're drinking, the world lights up. It does, and that when you stop,
I actually felt
the world gets darkened.
The only problem around this film, other than the 2 minute argument, was Julianne Moore didn't get enough screen time.
No,
as much as her screen time fit the story, I wanted more of her just because of how good she was in the movie. and I really like her as an actress. Like, her moments in Magnolia, lovely.
My only problem with the movie was the essentially the prologue and epilogue scenes with the dude in the water.
Yeah, it felt
unnecessary.
Useless.
It was superfluous. That's what it was.
I mean, Tom Ford's fashion background shows in the direction, because it's all about how it looks.
And
like, even when you see
the
people
dress,
how they dress,
yeah,
it looks very much like a catalogue,
yeah, that,
that he's going through.
Yeah, that dude, he's... You can tell that he's big into fashion.
And do you know what really was an awesome moment for me in the movie? Had nothing to do with the story or anything, but in the middle of the movie, you see him, I think he goes up to a grocery store or something,
mm-hmm,
some store of some kind, and he parks his car, and it's in front of this huge picture, and when he comes out, you see it's a wall poster for advertisement for Psycho,
cool,
mm-hmm, the 1960 Hitchcock film. And it's just like a moment where you go like, oh, he's establishing what time it is on top of everything. I was just like, it was just like, wow, I would have wanted to see that.
He's making sure that you film geeks have something to like. And here you go, bitches.
Anyways.
It's about time though, Douglas. Really? Need of them?
So you
what
have
are
no,
you waiting
for? No,
what
quite
are
right.
you waiting
for?
Really
sure.
You waiting for better movies to come out?
You have to go watch a serious man now.
You need to watch
or
both.
A single man. Which one?
Both. Both. You need to watch both.
No, I'm confused now, because you see a serious
good.
Man when you mean a single man.
Good.
But sometimes when you see a serious man, you mean a serious
and that's why
man.
I say watch both.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't like a single man, but I like a serious man.
You're crazy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
The Coen brothers made a serious man.
No, they made a single man.
Yeah, Coen brothers.
They have to be awesome.
Except for that last shot of a serious man.
Yeah.
The serious man, the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
The last scene,
kind of rough.
It kind of throws all that the setup in the movie.
What the last scene is
away. Kind of defeats the purpose. But the movie before that, the movie is awesome. I mean, it's Coen brothers.
Exactly. You know, it has to
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what movie he saw. He's wrong.
I have my issues with Coen brothers, but we'll move on.
Issues?
He said
issues?
Black plural. More
no,
than
no,
one.
No, no, no. I don't even understand why
no,
there's
no,
a singular.
No, I can understand
what?
He had an issue with this movie. Fine, I don't know what the issue is, but he has issues with that plural. I don't know. I think he should stop hosting this podcast.
I think so.
Let's start out with Essential Killing,
yes,
starring Vincent Gallo. So, what's your thoughts?
Well, this trailer is very interesting. It shows you...
There.
I guess, you know what it is? It's a really good trailer in that it shows you what you want to see, but it really doesn't tell you much about the movie. Because
I'm pretty
sure
I know where it is.
Well, okay, so for example, here's what I take from the trailer, and
mm-hmm,
maybe you will tell me, oh, but of course, Douglas, that's exactly what it is. It looks like, you know, there is... Well, some sort of incursion at first. Whatever happens, first happens. And then this guy gets, like, arrested or held. I don't know, whatever. And then he escapes.
He's
and
in dirt and then magically in snow.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
The Himalayas.
Well, he escapes and he has to do some pretty gory, pretty horrible things to survive. That's what this movie looks like to me. But really and truly, the trailer could be anything. They could have cut from all sorts of portions in the movie. But
flashbacks.
Exactly. But so even though the trailer is a little bit vague, it really, the imagery really makes it look like a fairly good movie. I like that whole, you know, guy on the run kind of thing. That it kind of works with a lot of movies, and this looks like it's very real. Even though there's this one point in the trailer where blood spurts and it looks like it's, you know, Kool-Aid or something like that.
He bites some dude.
Exactly. But no, it looks like he almost becomes animalistic in a sense, because he is...
And the shots of wild animals help to bring across that message.
Yeah. So I like it for that fact. For the fact that it looks like this guy is going to be on the run. Whether he's a bad guy or a good guy, he's on the run from somebody. They're hunting him, and he is not just being hunted like an animal, but he is almost reverting to animal form, to you know, being like that. And I think this could be a really good movie, you know?
I'd like to think that the reason that I like this trailer isn't because of anything other than how they actually cut it together. Because when I was watching it, I don't think they have any dialogue in it at all.
No, they don't.
And it's really just these cuts of Vincent Gallo,
running.
As you said, running and doing all of these animalistic things with just awesome music behind it. And it doesn't really give me a feel of what kind of movie it's really going to be, but it gave me a good vibe. I don't know how to really describe it. It gave me a vibe like, I'm kind of interested in this, and I guess that's what they want to do, of course, because they want me to have to go to the theater to watch it. But
go to the theater to watch it.
In the end, this movie could turn out to be anything right now,
please,
and that kind of worries me.
Do you guys see the trailer?
It feels almost
Harrison
like it's
Ford.
Directed by John Hillcoat.
Harrison Ford and Wesley Snipes, Fugitive.
Yep.
That is what this movie is. This movie is The Fugitive. But because they're not in America, they're free to go to places like dirt and snow. I don't know if you know. Have you ever
dirt
seen those countries?
In
dirt and snow. No one likes America anymore. It looks like The Fugitive. I'm pretty sure I'm willing to take bets at this point. This movie is 100% Fugitive.
What are my odds?
It's like 90%. I'll bet you.
So 9-1 odds?
Yeah, 10-1 odds. This movie is a Fugitive. But Fugitive is awesome. Even when Wesley Snipes did it, it was awesome.
I don't know.
And Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy
Lee Jones is in this movie, it gets an extra point. No matter how good or bad, that's one extra point. If they just show a picture of him somewhere, that's a point.
it's like the cops are in the station and then they look up and they're like,
and you see him on TV.
No, not on TV. There's like a picture of him, right. And you're like, what would you do? What would Tommy Lee do?
Captain America is sitting on plus one right now.
Yeah. That's plus one. That's so, but it looks. I hope it's just the trailer. I hope it's just extended out to like an hour and a half. It's just him running and guys shooting at him and him jumping into shit and no talking. As we know, what The Fugitive is, clearly he's innocent and he needs to find some way to prove his innocence, and that is why he's running from the law. And guys are trying to kill him to keep him quiet. We've seen this before. But it's been awesome in the past. I'm pretty sure it's going to stay awesome. Pretty sure.
Another trailer that came out this week on Snowman's Land. And Douglas found this trailer.
I don't know how.
Brilliant.
It looks like a hitman comedy in
it's
Sweden.
It's in Bruges.
With a little bit of it's Russian or Sweden?
Said
I think
Moscow.
It's Russian, yeah.
Oh.
Actually, so you say it's a little bit of in Bruges. I actually, when I first saw this trailer, the first thing that hit me was I was like, you know what this looks like? This reminds me of Matador with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
What I actually think of is, even though I'm not going on the comedy end, I'm going on
the comedy end.
Was The Shining with the hotel and the snow and the solitude. Like, it's
what? No, I'm
you're not seeing that at all?
No, sir.
No, sir. There were no... Did you see...
Shiny?
Did you see two little ghosty girls come
wait,
up
the
and...
Wait, is it here? So every time you see a hotel...
In snow. With only a few people.
The first thing your mind goes to is The Shining.
Andrew,
you need therapy, son.
Here's a bit of advice. Don't go to TIFF.
If you have to
go to a hotel in Canada and... It might even sprinkle a little bit of that white stuff.
I totally was going to mention this, but you know, on a little excited note, I sent in my application for press accreditation for TIFF. So I'm hoping to head up to TIFF this year.
Andrew, we didn't want to hear about it.
I know you didn't.
We don't know.
People listening to this word.
Yeah, they don't either because none of us care. Anyway,
Toronto, I'm coming.
What was I saying? So Snowman's Land. Snowman's Land. This movie looks really good. I love the timing and the scenes in this trailer are just amazing. I love how it starts off. It starts off with this cold-blooded kill, you know? You see somebody getting shot from behind in the urinal, and you're like, oh my goodness, this is like James Bond. This is like some sort of, you know, ridiculous Counter-Strike type of shootout. And then all of a sudden, you see him kind of turn over the body and look, and then look at the picture and say... Shit. And then he has to wait for the other guy to come out of the stall. And not only does he shoot the guy in the stall, but you can see him looking at the picture to make sure that he's shooting the right guy. And the question I always ask myself is, hold on, what if it was the wrong guy? Would he just be like, oh, sorry, you can go ahead. This gun, no, don't worry about it. It's cool.
It's a prop.
I was trying
to
play a joke on my friend.
No worries.
he's really he's a friend of mine. He's just lying down to keep the story.
That's not blood. That's wine.
It's ketchup.
Move on.
No, this movie looks really good. I can't wait to watch it. To tell you the truth, this trailer actually, I don't know how long ago it came out, but the video that I sent everybody was uploaded to YouTube like a month ago.
Oh.
But the trailer, it was posted on, I think, Gordon and the Whale and First Showing just like a couple days ago. So it's just gotten like recognition. Yeah, noticed. And
just like us?
Yeah, exactly. Well, have we gotten noticed?
No, the trailer, we just noticed it.
So, the trailer just got noticed.
Let
and
me keep drinking.
You should.
Yeah, that always helps.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to watch this on DVD because I know I'm not going to watch it in the theater because it's not
going
to come
out. Carib's not going to.
Exactly. And Damien,
but they have the foreign film program that they show
thank
all
you,
of it.
Thank you for that wonderful sarcasm.
Ditto. That's all I have to say.
For me, addition to Douglas,
and it's not like The Shining.
I'm going to stop.
The Shining.
Careful. And what were you going to say? Come on.
Addition to what you're talking about with that scene at the beginning when he's killing the dude in the bathroom, was towards end when, like, I'm assuming things are going crazy at the hotel, people are coming, and you see the other dude at the hotel with the small the SMG looking gun, and he's just going crazy. It looks kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
I just like that kind of look. Yeah. It looks like an awesome movie. Moving on, though.
I need to write it, though. I'm going to keep the trail so that I remember it.
Another trailer that came out this week was finally the the trailer for Let Me In, the remake to Let the Right One In, starring Chloe Moretz and the child from The Road.
As some of you may have heard, there was an incident last night, and one of your recent graduates here was killed. We need you all to be on the lookout for any suspicious activity.
You guys just moved in, upstairs?
How do you know?
Can you hear me through the wall?
Only sometimes.
Police and fire investigators are now several hours into their investigation.
Do you think there's such a thing as evil?
So, okay, this trailer really does have two things going for it. Chloe Moretz is on a hot streak right now.
Girl and 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Also, Matt Reeves. And he hasn't come out with much lately, and by much I mean anything. But he had a fantastic debut with Cloverfield. That was...
I'm sorry, wasn't that directed by J.J. Abrams?
Shut up. That was a top-notch
film. I don't understand
what
that had to do with that.
Top-notch.
Wasn't Star Trek directed by J.J. Abrams?
No, he's been retired because it was not directed by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, I know.
Matt Reeves directed that.
That's what you want to think.
Anyway, that Cloverfield was amazing, and that sort of respect that goes along with how good Cloverfield is transfers into this movie. But not only that, to tell you the truth, that alone would sell me, but this trailer really is good. It looks great.
But I don't
great.
Want it to be good.
I know, but I love how, even though clearly you're going to have to get the... main points across from the first movie, and you're gonna have to have the same characters, and you're gonna have to have the same situations.
Some of the same situations.
Right, some of the same situations. It looks like he's really trying to make it different. He's trying to make it his own. Because, I mean, if you look, even in the first section of the trailer, where there's like this school announcement where they're talking about how, you know, there are all of these murders and you have to be careful and look what's happened here. Like, that didn't happen in the first movie, but yeah, things don't happen. But it was... In the first movie, there wasn't much in terms of... nothing happened if it wasn't between the boy and the vampire,
right,
essentially. But it looks like in this movie... Shut up. It looks like in this movie they're changing that a little bit. And that first part of the trailer shows you that. And I hope that he really does put his signature on it. Because I was a bit upset when I found out that it was going to be remade. Right, it was ridiculous. I watched the movie and it felt like almost the next week, oh, it's gonna be remade. But
hey guys, all you people that like Let the Right One In, you're like, yeah, I'm one of those people, they're remaking it.
Exactly. but it looks like they've chosen the right people to do it, and the right people have pulled off something spectacular. So I hope
want it to be
I
good.
Really hope that this is going to be a good remake.
See, here lies my problem. As much as I can agree with you, like, it looks like it's going to be a good movie. Like, I feel as if I hadn't seen Let the Right One In, I would look at this trailer and say, like, holy shit, I have to watch this movie now. First of all, the first feeling I had watching this trailer was, holy shit, let me go back and watch the original again. Other than that, I got this feeling like...
The Jaws factor? Jaws didn't show anything.
Right, yeah. That the American version is going to be the un-Jaws version. Like, what I love so much about the original is they spent so much time paying attention not only to developing their own rules, even though they did play in this basically the same sandbox that every other film has in this genre, to the vampire. But at the same time, they never felt the need to show you everything. They didn't feel the need to show you the ultimate gore that is in every other vampire film.
By the way, can I tell you, maybe my favorite part in the movie, or possibly my second favorite part, and the part that I think is the most, not intelligent, but the most different thing about any vampire movie I've seen is how the original movie dealt with inviting a vampire in.
Yeah, that's what I kind of... Like, yeah. That one moment where they were like, what if we actually did this, you know, and they actually answered the question as to why vampires have to be invited in. And like, the one thing that that movie did was when it eventually got to the final scene where they had a limited amount of gore, it still wasn't like full-blown vampire movie gore, was that it felt like it earned it. It felt like it earned the right to give you this violent scene. While on the other hand, watching this trailer, it feels like it takes all those moments from the original where there was violence that it didn't exactly show you blatantly, where it's going to show you all of these things, and it kind of worries
because
me.
It's for Americans.
I know.
And they're stupid. You have to paint, you have to show them everything.
And I mean,
or
as much
get
as
confused.
I love Chloe Moretz and the guy, I can't remember
Matt
his name
Reeves,
right now.
Oh, from the road,
that child from the road, best child actor from last year.
Wow.
Like, it was between him and Max Records from Where the Wild Things Are, and I have to give it to the road child.
Yeah, because Where
right
the Wild
now.
Things Are is nonsense.
Fuck you.
Movie sucks balls.
He was also in The Brothers Bloom.
Fair enough. That movie's great.
It is. It's awesome.
What?
No, stop talking about
it. You never know that. He is Bloom in Brothers Bloom.
Holy shit. Yeah. You're talking about Max Records? Or?
Yes, yeah. Max Records.
In the beginning.
The big.
Yeah.
After we watch Brothers Bloom, though.
You guys stop talking about movies that I need to watch new movies. That I'm not going to go home and spend time watching old movies.
You're sad that there's not enough football on TV anymore,
yeah,
right?
That's no.
There's
no.
Time for movies again.
No, I can finally sleep.
Well, not this weekend though.
Yeah, but I can sleep tomorrow.
Anyways, yeah, that's my last thing.
I don't want to like this movie. Don't want to. Now you can't make me. You can't make me like it. You hear me, Matrix? You can't. I'm not going to like it on principle.
You're going
right?
to get with a placard. Watch the original.
Right?
Watch the original.
Right? No matter how good you made this movie, the original will still be better, damn it.
I think David's going to print a shirt. The original is better.
Right? Still the original. You can't.
Anyways,
I don't like this trailer. I don't like Chloe Moretz. I don't even like Cloverfield anymore. Damn you all there.
I still haven't bought the original movie on DVD.
You're
they
stupid.
Haven't released the theatrical subtitle version.
You know you can download that, right? You do understand that's how subtitles work.
It's just a text file, right?
Yes. And a small one at that.
So yeah, that's that. Alright, so this week Damien suggested we all watch The Last Station.
I believe that wealth corrupts us all. Yes, I do.
It's a keystone of the movement.
Oh, God, I know all about the movement.
If the peasants had money, they wouldn't surround themselves as we do, with footmen costing 10 rubles a month.
No, they'd spend it on drink and whores.
Valentin Fedorovich. What do you think?
Tea.
You think that 50 years from now people will eat while grown men walk around waiting on them hand and foot?
I think that's good. Bless you.
Stop scribbling. You all think he's Christ, don't you?
What?
He thinks he's Christ.
I'm not... I don't believe Lev Nikolaevich is Christ. Christ is Christ, but...
But what?
I do believe he's one of the prophets.
Why is it always on me? Aren't you the podcast producer? Shouldn't you know?
I know it's about old people. That's all I remember.
I don't want to think. Right.
Isn't it about War and Peace?
Yes. It's about the dude who wrote War and Peace and the religion that ensued.
War and Peace created their religion.
Yes. He was seen as a deity after he wrote that book and some other book.
Just as you know, it's almost 11.
I don't care.
Okay.
And this movie surrounds what happened after he essentially became a deity and started his religion. The movie surrounds himself, his wife, and a few people within his circle. And his wife, he's trying to protect her inheritance. Tolstoy himself couldn't care less.
He's like, I want to be poor.
Yes, he kind of believes some of the nonsense that he's talking, but not to the extent that he is adamant that all these things need to be how it is in the book. But then he has his right-hand man who takes up that role. And there's James McAvoy, who essentially is to be a spy.
For both sides.
Inadvertently turns out to be a spy on both sides.
A double agent.
And who Tolstoy kind of sees as a successor to him. He sees a lot of himself in McAvoy's character and would like him to essentially take over the reins after he's dead, because he's old and old people die. I don't know if you know this. That's what they do.
Really?
And the movie's just what happens once the McAvoy character is inserted into the situation. And I want to know what you guys think about the movie first.
Well, I thought this movie was really good.
No, that goes without saying.
Exactly, but no,
they cheated.
Actually,
I remember when we saw the trailer, we all said that they cheated. Also, I mean, they exactly. Essentially, they had all the right actors.
They did. But before we even get it, what I wanted to say, I don't have very much to say about this movie because it's not. It's really odd. It's more like, it's not really a story as such. It's just a retelling. Yeah. It's what happened, right? Yeah. Which is why, I don't know, there's not much I have to say about it. I really liked it. I liked how it went. But the one thing that I really wanted to point out is that in a sea of big name and proven actors, in Paul Giamatti and Helen Mirren and Christopher Plummer, James McAvoy shines. His performance is excellent. He stands out as... This is the first time I've watched a movie with him in it and said, okay, this
fucking
guy...
Atonement.
You know, this guy...
Did you say Last King of Scotland?
Oh, no, I didn't see that movie. I didn't see that one.
He is tremendous in that movie.
But in this movie, he was... He hit every high, he hit every low...
Penelope, did you see that one?
Yeah, I did see Penelope, but I don't know. I guess maybe because I kind of, when I watched that, I viewed it as, oh, it's a little light, you know, happiness, sure. Whatever. Yeah. But in this movie, he really, he gets every emotion, and he hits every line, and everything is...
The fake sneeze is wonderful.
Yes, it is. but it's just fantastic. He is fantastic, and... Also, another thing I really liked was the Russians with the British and American accents. But,
I enjoyed that.
They're like, we will all speak English even though we're in Russia.
We're not even pretending.
But you know, Valkyrie transition.
You see, the thing about that, right, is that...
But I don't enjoy that Valkyrie-like transition.
The Valkyrie transition.
Exactly.
That was...
How to do it. That's how people need to do it.
Thing ever. They told you, they were like, okay, this should be in German. Here is the German, but we're going to put it into...
That is usually... that's what I love about Singer, and that a lot of people hate, is his attention to detail about things that really... I mean, a lot of people really don't... It really doesn't matter to that many people, but I'm happy every time he does it. He even did it a few times in Superman, and people... essentially called him out for it.
Really like that movie.
Me too, yeah.
I want to buy that movie. This movie, I mean, Echo in Douglas is fantastic. I really like it.
Again, they cheated.
However, I kind of feel like the truth of the matter is I didn't know much about this guy. I haven't read War and Peace.
It's not your fault. No one has ever read War and Peace.
I didn't know about Tolstoy and the Tolstoyism.
That
and
is
there are certain moments that I kind of felt really, like, really cool moments. Like, for example, when McAvoy and Plummer are walking through the forest, mm-hmm. and he's talking to McAvoy about...
That's my favorite scene.
Huh?
That's my favorite scene.
So, what are your life experiences? He's like, and he's like, really? Well, you know, I'm not really that good at Tolstoy.
I had a dream last night about a Tatar girl I knew in the war.
A girl who died.
No. Girl I had sexual intercourse with. Sometimes we did it twice a day. Oh, God bless you. I've never forgotten our time together. The position of our bodies and the taste of her.
It was a long, long time ago. Really, you mustn't torture yourself.
Torture? You are a virgin, aren't you?
I'm not that good at first.
Because he's like, I was thinking about this girl that I had sex with. And he's like, no, you really shouldn't beat yourself up about it. I'm 13. What?
That was fun.
Beat myself up? And the guy's like laughing. Tragedy. Yeah, sure. That's what it was.
You know,
he's like, no, you really shouldn't torture yourself. And the guy's like, yeah, that's what it, torture. Right. Torture.
My favorite scene, or genius. I guess maybe my favorite speech, was when McAvoy sent the telegram to his girlfriend in Russia, in Moscow. And the thing
all littered so over this movie. There's so many.
This movie, you have
so many scenes.
You have the main story of Tolstoy and how people are trying to manipulate him. The wife trying to.
I like
sure
the paparazzi.
That was also a huge thing. There was this scene towards the end when Sophia, her name,
yeah,
Sophia, Helen Mirren comes to her husband towards the end and. She makes this huge scene outside of his room trying to come in and see him, and Paul Giamatti won't let her come in, and you have all of the paparazzi around her, and the director's amplified the sound of the scribbles of these guys writing down everything.
Yeah, because it was annoying to her that they saw him as Christ and wrote everything that he said, and a lot of them did it.
I actually thought that most, like, not,
and so
not,
they amplified it there.
Not McAvoy, but all the paparazzi. They didn't really think of him as Christ, but rather, like,
them
giggling.
No, not the paparazzi. No, not the guy. There was a physician. There was a physician there,
yeah.
And that is what.
Yeah.
She was always shouting at him to stop, right? Because that's all he did. He sat down and he scribbled everything.
Yeah.
So when she was surrounded by it, that's why they amplified.
Yeah, I understand that.
Oh,
I kind
so
of
good.
Found it funny that after all of this, please stop scribbling stuff towards the beginning when you had the physician and you had McAvoy, but now you had all the paparazzi around him. And you could hear not only the sounds of the scribbling, but them giggling towards things that were happening. Like, they were like, I can't believe this. I'm going to actually publish this in a newspaper.
Her husband hates her after all.
I kind of imagine that when the movie ended, like, I'm sorry to spoil this for you all, but he dies. And Tolstoy actually dies.
I'll have to change my entire way of life. Tolstoy is dead.
And, like, there's
not going to be a War and Peace 2.
No, I was waiting. I mean, wasn't there supposed to be a trilogy?
I think there was. The physician finally announced he's dead. The people, like, they stopped filming, they stopped writing, and they all giggled to themselves and finally went home. Get said, like, thank God I can go home.
Sleep. Beautiful.
Because, I mean, these guys were just camping out. Like, I think they always had a camera rolling for no reason whatsoever.
No, it's to film it.
Yeah.
There's a reason. They're getting paid to do it.
And, I mean, you even see it in the credits when you see the little shots of, I assume, it's the original.
Tolstoy was like, David Beckham Puff Spice before any of that. Dude was enormous. He was like the biggest in Russia for years.
But what I felt kind of cheated about was how I personally got invested in the storyline of Marcia and James McAvoy. Valentin. Sorry, I keep Russian names.
McAvoy.
Marcia and Valentin. And I wanted to see more of that story. And I don't know whether it was that there wasn't more or that they had to cut it due to they had to pay attention to the Tolstoy
bait and
the
switch.
Tolstoy story. And I wanted more of that. I felt like, and I don't know whether it's that I'd complain if I got more or
you would.
I probably would have. Or I'm just being a little child.
They lived happily ever after.
Right?
That's what you want.
It was a really good movie, I'm not gonna lie. But at the same time, it's not a movie that I'm anxious to add to my collection of DVDs. At the same time, it's just under the entertainment value of I probably would take a year to watch it again, kind of thing.
Well, I've seen this movie 3 times. towards the end, it kind of, like, when he's getting sick and dying, they have to start wrapping up the movie.
By the way, sorry, is it just me, or does his daughter's eyebrows scare you guys too?
I haven't even paid attention to her eyebrows.
I don't know.
It's strange.
But the first, like, hour and 20 minutes of this movie. First hour and 20 minutes. Right. 90%.
The first 90% of this movie.
It's phenomenal and, I mean, immensely rewatchable. I've, again, seen it 3 times. I enjoy this movie so much. It's just so fun to watch. All these actors play off each other. Just the venom that Mirren has towards everybody. And I mean, I enjoy seeing that kind of love on TV. Because most people, they play up the sappy side or everything's all perfect. And that's how people love each other.
When you had the scene
but
with
just
Mirren.
The amount of hatred that they have for each other. I liked when Giamatti said, "If you are my wife, I blow my brains."
And then he says, "Or I move to America."
Exactly. It's like just below blowing your brains. Like, or I'd move to America.
Because those two are the
exactly.
Same.
It's literally. It's literally.
I don't understand.
It was Russian.
So good. So good. This movie is so good.
One moment that I really like talking about the love and hatred between Mirren and Plummer.
Did you like it, or do you just like talking about it?
I liked it.
Okay.
Was the scene when Plummer runs into the room after he got some telegram about her having insomnia, mm-hmm. and she talks about how she wants to make him sing like a bird or something, mm-hmm. and make these noises. It's like a really fun moment for me.
Yeah, because it shows that even though they're
no one wants
they're very frustrated with each other, but they still do love each other. Yeah.
That's why that show on HBO never got renewed.
Yeah,
watch
them. There was this TV show,
Granny Porn.
We call it Granny Porn.
What in God's name are you two talking about?
I can't remember the proper name. It's something like
Love or
Love.
Oh, Big Love.
It was okay. It's a bunch of stories. Matt, the guy that I really like is in it. The funny guy that's in A Vicious Kind.
Adam Scott.
He's in it.
By the way, Tear.
Yeah, I know.
Got canceled.
Yeah.
After season 2.
Didn't they fire all the lead people? Or didn't they find better jobs somewhere? Something.
Well,
all right, what
Sylvester.
Anyways, moving on.
But yeah, Adam Scott was in that. So was Billy Walsh.
I can't remember the proper name. The name is kind of a lot like I've Loved You So Long, kind of like that kind of title. It has love in the title, and it's one of these ensemble shows where they have so many characters and they just follow all these plot lines. And the thing for me was in the first episode,
Ali Sheedy was in it. No, not Ali Sheedy.
They had a sex scene with grandparents.
Okay.
Like a graphic sex scene.
Oh, that's great.
I'm glad
I missed it.
Immediately, I have titled it Granny Porn.
Granny Porn.
Never watched it again.
Not a fan. Check.
I'm like, once you reach a certain age, you have to realize that nudity is no longer an option on screen.
Anywhere. Old people don't want to see old people naked. That's disgusting at all times.
Anyways, we were talking about the last station at some point, I think.
I think essentially we all agreed it's awesome.
The performances
James McAvoy
are awesome.
Was fantastic.
The direction is awesome.
Direction is good.
The
yes.
set locations were awesome.
This
movie cheated. That's what I don't like about it, because we knew. The second we saw the trailer, we knew what this movie was.
Added to the last station talk. I actually feel, even though he was good and whatever, I feel like they shouldn't have cast Paul Giamatti in his role.
I feel like what you talk about, they cheated. Helen Mirren, awesome. James McAvoy, awesome. Christopher Plummer, awesome. Paul Giamatti played this role already in The Illusionist. Like, not even just the look. The character itself felt a lot like The Illusionist character.
Hold on. What you're saying is that Paul Giamatti
cheated.
Shouldn't play this role because he played it already.
Yes.
Have you heard about this guy? His name is Hugh Grant.
Yes, and I don't like him playing this role.
Okay.
There's this other guy that plays Die Hard. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I think his name was like Bruce or.
Yeah.
But at least Bruce Willis puts on a different wig before he does the same thing or something. I felt like I wanted it to be a different person for some reason. And I don't know who, but like, I didn't hear they cheated.
You have some of. I mean, I should start calling you Plastic Logic. That's what I have no idea what you're talking about. Do you even have a filter that filters out some of the nonsense?
I've had three beers.
Okay.
Like, we've seen him play this character.
There's more beer
in
the fridge, if you want.
I mean, so all you need to do is pour me a straight scotch. All right. Perfect. No,
I'm just glad that we're all agreed that the movie's off, because I was worried that one of you crazy bastards. Mostly Andrew. I was worried that Andrew, because Andrew doesn't know anything about history.
Would find
something to harp on about this movie and not like. He did it, but just not enough to not like the movie. It's Paul Giamatti nonsense. Wow. That's impressive.
All you have to do is add on, this movie is phenomenal. Right now, come on. This movie is phenomenal. Come on,
it is phenomenal.
He said that too. The Twitter, on Twitter, you have like a bio section. Mm-hmm. And in that, he put, this movie is phenomenal.
Yes.
And I love that.
No sweat.
At first, you accomplish pain defense. Eh? Ratatata. All in wrist. Eh? Wrist up. Eh? Down. Eh? Wrist. All in wrist. Up. Down. Long stroke. Ah, very good. Up, down, and no, look me, look fence.
Anyways, moving on.
It's ridiculous.
We have things to move on to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Discussion this week. We decided before the podcast.
We decided.
Should there be a gestation period between remakes? Like, even Let the Right One In. We just talked about the trailer for the remake, which happened, what was it, 2 years after the original came out? And the news of the remake came
a day after the
original came out. Should there be a waiting period between movies being remade? And if so, how long?
Thank you, Andrew. While sounding very intelligent, what you have done is taken everything that I said before and re-spoke it, so that now I have nothing to say on the topic.
Comment on the topic.
Re-talk.
Damon.
Oh, thanks. Damon under the bus. That's impressive. Alright, so for English movies, yes. For foreign movies, no. Foreign films.
Hold on, when you say English, you mean movies in English, like movies made for the UK?
In English, yes. Movies in English.
I just wanted to make the distinction.
So essentially what you're saying, and I kind of get what you're saying, right, is that crossing the language barrier, whether
exactly,
it's from Spanish to English or English to Spanish, doing that quickly is fine.
Right.
But going from the same
English
language
to English
is
new.
Yeah. Actually that's
right,
really interesting.
Sorry,
but you know what though?
Lazy.
You know what though? You know what I say to that? There's this thing, it's called reading. And it's okay to do it.
Yeah, yes. And I agree with you 150%. However, a lot of people don't.
Actually, I even allow people to put on the dub as much as I hate it.
No, do not. That is what I'm trying to avoid. If you, instead of dubbing the movie and making it worse, which in most cases, that's what you're doing.
Okay, so on a side topic, right? I know I do, but do you find that there is a difference between watching the dubs, or at least one is more acceptable than the other in terms of watching the dubs on a live action movie or watching it on, say, like an anime, like a cartoon? Do you think that there's a...
No.
One is more acceptable both than
of them,
the other?
Both of them are just bad.
Subs are always dubs.
They're just bad. Because a lot of what is... Too much, I feel too much is lost when you try. In fact, even it's the problem I have with a lot of Japanese games that are brought over. not even talking about like shitty things like that. I'm talking about like Final Fantasy, for instance. I'd prefer reading the subtitles than hearing
sometimes
them speak.
Sometimes when I see those trailers, the Japanese trailers, I'm like, I want my subtitles.
Right, just give me subtitles with that.
You know what upsets me though? And I actually experienced this week because I watched Micmax. And Micmax is a JPJ film, so you know immediately this is something that is intensely visual, and the colors and the images are just
white subtitles. I know where this is going.
Yeah, they are just like more than 50% of the movie. They're almost like 90% of the movie. And for me to spend the time to read the words and try and do that and then take in the imagery at the same time, it's just so difficult. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there is also something lost when you put in a sub, and it sounds kind of weird and.
Yeah, because it's just off-putting.
It is, and you're right. It is, but at the same time, there is something to the fact that
watch it twice,
watching the movie and trying to read it both at the same time.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
which is why usually I watch these movies twice, like back quickly so that I can appreciate. Not only the like A Prophet, when I saw that, a lot of time was spent reading the subtitles the first time because you want to get
the dialogue.
Right, and then subsequent watchings, you spend more time looking at stuff in the background. But even even when watching movies that are in English, a lot of the time you miss stuff in the background. So it's not...
Yeah, you do, but you know what, though? I feel that because
you miss more.
You're not thinking about, okay, I'm going to have to read this dialogue, or I'm going to have to stop and put most of my mental, my reckoning power into figuring out what these people
are
saying.
Maybe you should just step your game up. That's a cheap shot. I agree. But hearing... Alright. So... the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
When they put out the Blu-ray recently, they had to, because the audio track is horrendous. They had to dub over certain sections, and the sections that they dubbed, they had the subtitles in what the subtitles matched the dub. Not what the person was saying. And I know 3 or 4 parts every time it happens. Right? It kind of annoys me and takes me out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it might be just something personal with me, but not a fan of dubs. And back to remakes, which is what we're talking about initially. So anything that isn't in English, fine, yeah. Feel free to update it and Americanize it so that people can watch it in the States. That's fine. I'd prefer sourcing the original
even
material.
If it's like 20 years perhaps.
Yeah, and reading the subtitles. I don't have that problem, but I know a lot of people do. So in that case, it's fine. Remakes in terms of rebooting a franchise, that you can do that whenever. Whenever you feel like, if you feel right, if you feel that the franchise is has lost its way or whatever it is, by all means press the reboot button. Cause if it's a franchise, there's so many of them that it doesn't matter. It's not like you're ruining some timeless classic or whatever. If someone was asking me if they had heard that Jackson was rebooting Lord of the Rings. And I said, not really. And then I thought about it, I'm like, if someone wanted to reboot Lord of the Rings, I mean, by all means.
Really?
I'd love to see. Because how do you reboot? I'd love to see them run whatever that reboot is into the ground. Because there's just no way. But just the thought.
When I turn 50, someone's going to say, it's a remake.
You know what?
And you know what's funny? Is that actually, just this week, I didn't talk about it, but I said to myself, so I had bought the extended edition on DVD maybe 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
A long time ago. And I had watched it as I got it, and I hadn't seen it since. And I said to myself this week, I need to watch these movies again. So I watched the first one. I haven't gone on to any more. But I watched The Fellowship of the Ring, and I mean, oh my goodness.
Half
I
an hour of credits.
Yeah, there's a half an hour of credits. I couldn't believe it, because I was watching it in XBMC. I've never watched that before. I've never done that before. I usually just watch them on regular DVD player and crazy whatever. Person. I know. At the time, I didn't have all these fancy things. But now I watched it on XBMC, and I just like pause, and I noticed something. It was an hour and 10, and the movie didn't finish until an hour and 40.
I mean, 2 hours and 10.
Whatever it is. Oh no, you know what it is? It's an hour and 10 into the second DVD.
I love hitting the info button in the middle of movies. Because it gives you a timestamp of where you are now and what time it will be when the movies
actually,
end.
Actually, yeah, that's Jeez. Really cool about the new XBMC.
Right.
The new version, it actually tells you, it calculates what time your movie
right.
is going to finish, your show
end.
Is going right.
to finish. So you mean based on the clock?
Yeah.
Yeah, based
oh,
on the actual
yeah. oh,
time of day.
Kind of interesting.
You just hit, I chose you the poster of the movie. And it tells you where you are now.
Yeah.
And you can see
I really
see
like the way they do the poster thing, that when the information comes up, you have like the bar here
right,
and
right.
the poster kind of
comes
on top
up,
of it.
Right.
I, like
I love
it
how we
yeah.
randomly always talk about XBMC.
Because it's so awesome.
It is.
I tried Media Center. It's good, but
which
one's
Media?
Windows.
Media. Oh, Windows. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's I haven't
good.
Tried it. I probably should. I probably
it's,
have it for free because I'm
yeah.
7 now.
It's
yeah.
good, but it's no XBMC.
So I'm guessing based on how we're going that there shouldn't be a gestation period at all. There
no, there
be
should
remake.
For right. If for English movies, why? Really?
I
just
think,
don't see.
No, because I mean, like, even when we talk about how they're remaking a movie from the 60s or the 80s or the 70s, we all go like, why?
Okay. So here's because
they're not remaking bad movies. If they were remaking shitty movies, then you could have gone, well, yeah.
There was potential.
The movie was horrible, but maybe they see something and someone can take it in another direction. But whenever they remake things, it's stuff that already they're trying to piggyback off a fan base that is already there. So the movie had to be good on some level to have some kind of following. And then they go, all right, we have those fans already. Let's try to build off that. And
question.
It's always bad.
I've heard some arguments for why there are so many remakes, and some people have said it's due to the piracy. That since Hollywood isn't making so much money from the original.
Okay, stop. Stop right there. Stop. Immediately. I didn't want to hear that argument. You know why? Because I'm not even going to argue and say, oh, there's nothing wrong with piracy or whatnot, but here are hard facts, right? No matter what they claim, that piracy is taking so much income from them, these last few years have
more
been
money.
The most profitable for studios.
Because James Cameron
in
made a movie.
No.
Take out James
Cameron.
No,
we can't throw all of that.
Look
money.
At the box office
please.
Pull.
Please.
The box office pull
has
for,
complete,
for has
yes.
has just. Extremely
and what has been happening in the last few years, but remakes.
Alright, hold on. Let me to just shoot that argument down now. Before the internet, before what is killing all of their profits, how were movies distributed? You either watch them in the theatre or wait for them to come on TV. And 9-10 people bought a tape. Right? The only movies that did well, there's like a handful of movies that did well after they came out of the theatres. Like, everyone had a Star Wars tape, and there's so few movies. The amount of DVDs that we buy now are, by odd of magnitude more than any tapes they've ever sold.
It's
so I don't want to hear that. They have Netflix.
The classic has really become, like, irrelevant, because that's exactly...
Let the Right One In remade.
Yeah.
That's how would we have known about that movie before the internet? Right? The amount of... Yes, there's a lot of piracy, but they're never going to get any of that money. So I'm tired of hearing that.
And guess what?
Pirates
are
the reason.
You like, know
those
what,
people are going
to
spend the money
piracy
anyway.
Is actually giving them money.
Exactly.
Because I can tell you, there are a lot of people that watch movies that are pirated and say, this is a really good movie, I'm going to buy it.
Let me buy it.
You know?
They constantly manipulate the system, because they have so many distribution channels now that is kind of they almost every movie that comes out of a studio will find some way to make back their money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No
except
matter
for
how,
apparently Harry Potter. You saw that? You saw that?
Yeah, yeah. Somehow Harry Potter won't make back his money, because my name is right? These guys are making phenomenal amounts of money. They're just greedy. That's the long and short of it. They think that every time someone sees their movie, they must get a cut. Which is why you have to... Which is why there's no buy something once and have it playable on all devices. That's the only reason they don't have that. Because they want you to... Oh, you have an iPhone? Buy it for that. Oh, you have another handheld device? Buy it for that. You want to watch it on your TV? Buy it for that.
But
oh, your computer? Buy it for that.
Most studios don't even want you to have the digital copy.
Exactly. Right.
I mean, that's the horrible thing. They have this wonderful medium. This is a gift to them. The internet is a gift. It's like, you spend so much money to distribute your films. Are you sure you want to spend it? No, you don't have to. Here's the internet.
I want to leave the piracy, the strict piracy talk for another thing.
Well, no, when I not
because
even...
I kind of want to wrap it up now. Let's get down to the matter of it. Damon has said his piece on the remake and the stations. He's like, if you don't speak English, yes.
No, if English, no.
Essentially, crossing
foreign
the
language
barrier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Douglas.
Actually, I never thought of it that way, but I agree with Damien. Crossing the language barrier is kind of okay. But at the same time, my take on it is that...
And bad movies.
Bad movies don't count in your...
My take on it is that...
Those aren't real movies anymore.
If there is a movie within a reasonable amount of time, really...
Give me a number.
Within a fairly recent amount of time, I don't feel that... It usually warrants a remake, because I don't want to watch a movie if I still have the original taste in my mouth, whether that original taste is bad or good, because that taste is going to color my expectations.
Hulk,
right?
Incredible Hulk. Ang Lee's version was horseshit.
Tell that to Andrew.
Put it down real proper in the second movie.
Yeah, but like it's difficult to, for example, for me to go and watch Let Me In, even though I raved about the trailer. The trailer looks amazing, but when I go into that movie, I'm gonna be like, this fucking bastard, why did he remake this film? I loved it a year and a half ago. What is this? You know,
18 months
exactly, or however long it was. I mean, I guess it's been maybe 3 years now, but I remember about this film, when I heard about the remake, it was like maybe
six months after the movie
you know, came out. So why are you doing this? So I don't like that whole taste in your mouth business. If
right, but this, by putting the movie in English, it winds
if
the
I
audience.
Can't say, if I can't say, I remember this movie back in the day, it shouldn't be remade. Right?
Again, if the language thing, if this remake will open it up to a wider audience, right? So so I'm fine with that because they're doing it for a completely different group of people, right? And they're going to insert different sensibilities in the movie. That is fine. But when it's English to English, they're just, I mean, I've never heard of an artistic reason for remaking a movie. It's always money. Right? Unless the, but I still say unless the movie is bad, like Hulk. Ang Lee's Hulk was garbage. And so Letterie had all right to remake that movie.
First of all, based on the artistic reason for remaking, remember 12 Monkeys by Gilliam is a remake.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't even know that. But a remake of what?
Some French film, I can't remember the name.
Proving my... Do you understand? Proving my point.
But no, I'm going
on. I know. You know, the funny thing is, even further proving his thing, I now need to find out what that movie is and watch it.
Okay. I had it in my list, the top 10 movies that you didn't know were remakes. Yes. I posted it on a film stage all the way back. The fun list. I actually believe, first of all, like, I think this has to do with a lot of movies I'm seeing today, especially, and I know you're going to tell me to be quiet, but leave me alone, The Karate Kid, which was recently remade.
That's not a remake.
And just when I went to the theater to watch it and how I saw the audience, which was mainly children, react to the movie, like how I imagined the theater would have been in 1980, whatever, when the original came out. Like, I kind of feel that if you've had enough time, like if a new generation has come out and want to see this movie, I'm okay with you remaking it. I may bitch and moan at first, but I'm okay with it.
Alright, because showing them the old movie wouldn't do the same, right?
No.
Okay. So, let me get this.
First of all,
were you born when Terminator was done?
First of all, you have to understand, I live in Jamaica where I've had people tell, I've gone to people and said, you should watch The Three Amigos. Have you ever seen The Three Amigos?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And they've said, that movie was made before I was born. I'm not watching that. And people are stupid. As much as we want to write off those people, as you are stupid.
I think we should.
Like, at the same time, I want to be able to share that with them at some point.
Really? You really want to share that with them? If someone is going to write off a movie because of its age, you really want to share what with them?
So if someone wants to remake Ocean's 11, which was a 1960s film with Soderbergh making it in 2000.
So let me get this straight. When your children are born, right, you don't want them to see the Tom and Jerry that we saw, or the Lion King that we saw, or any of that. You want them to update these movies, right, and show it to them, right? That's what you want?
No. Hold on, listen to this for a moment, alright? I understand where you're going. I'm personally, like, my children, I would probably force them to watch the original Three Amigos before they... But however, like, even for me today, like, I saw the remake Ocean's 11 before I saw the original. I saw... What else was a remake that I saw? You saw The Criminal before you saw Nine Queens.
True, yeah.
And I still, to this date, haven't seen it.
But Nine Queens isn't a previous generation movie, though.
I'm getting to a point, right?
It's a language barrier.
I still haven't seen Infernal Affairs, but I've seen The Departed.
Yes, and you should watch Infernal Affairs.
I know I should, but personally, I believe sometimes that when I see these newer films, that not only does it introduce me to the story, but it gives me a little nudge to want to go and watch the original. And that might just be me.
And it is just you, I'm telling you.
And I think that's also something that, I mean, even though I kind of feel that people shouldn't be excessive with this rule, that I think it's okay about remakes. Like, once you've made a good remake, you should be able to separate the remake from the original and be able to say that's a good movie. Which is why I'm looking forward to the idea of the Fincher Dragon Tattoo movie.
But not let me.
Because it,
why not let me?
You know what? Fuck you. I'm not talking to you.
Well, after all this argument, all this
so much articulation,
he's like, I'm
and then he's like, you know what? I can't do it, you fuckers.
I kind of feel sometimes like
he's the one that's been, you know.
Anyway.
Like, I don't mind that much. I'm kind of okay with it, but at the same time, when I heard news of Let Me In happening 2 days after I saw the original, which had just come out, I was like, really?
Oh. When they remake Good, the Bad, and the Ugly in 3D,
they remade Wreck, which I still haven't seen, but I kind of quote unquote saw Quarantine. I still don't say I haven't seen it because of how I saw it, because that was like a shitty movie experience for me. But. Like, I don't mind the remakes. I do feel like as long as a generation has passed, I'm okay with it, because I want to find a way to introduce people to it without having to deal with the bullshit reasoning of it's old, I don't want to watch it. Because you know those people who are like, this is black and white, and I'm not watching this.
And you ignore those people.
Because you're you.
Yes.
I want
Andrew, if someone is going to look at you, and their reason for not watching a movie is that it is old or that it is in black and white, why is it then, why is the onus then placed on you to introduce them to the movie? You tried and failed, so leave them alone.
I don't know, David. I just wanted them to share. I want to share.
Alright, so video games. If someone looks at you and say, well, I'm not going to play anything before Call of Duty because it's old, what do you say to that person?
I tell them, come here.
Oh,
let's
please,
play Mario.
Let me remake Mario so that.
Did
what?
Nintendo do that?
Yes, they keep.
Times.
No, they've done it billions of times. It's never been better for it.
I'll put on the first Final Fantasy and be like, go.
If you're going to come up with harsh reasons, then.
I don't know, it's just something in me that I want to be able to share that experience with people. And I think the remake is a way to force them into introducing themselves into the original.
I understand,
you know,
because
remake,
of the color
the taking
money.
Of Pelham 1, 2, 3. That was amazing.
Look, I understand, Andrew. I understand when you take something from one language and one sensibility and bring it across and make it more.
Unless you're illiterate, I don't find that as a reason.
No, because they're making it for. Western sensibilities. When you take a Japanese movie or a French movie, right, and make it for Western sensibilities, there's things there that can be gained. But when you take something that is already, right, made for us, and you update it, or try to update it, when all you're doing is changing the technology, or he had to walk to a phone booth, and now he takes out his cell phone. Really? What is there to be gained? Like, what did the Karate Kid with Jaden Smith do that the first one didn't? Except add an additional hour of nonsense.
He didn't add anything. That's a real truth. He didn't add anything more than it gave you what you knew in a slightly different form. Because it was mainly because they decided to set it in China rather than the karate, and I still kind of find it apeshit crazy that they still call it the Karate Kid, even though it's kung fu.
If someone decides to remake Avatar, The Last Airbender, I'll be all up for it, because that movie's shitty. Bad movies remake, yes. That's all right, that's it. That's the line that we're drawing. If it's a terrible movie, feel free to remake it.
So, anyways, I guess that's it this week. This is Andrew.
This is
Douglas.
This is at Soccer Jersey.
You can find
Facebook/Damian White.
You can find me on Twitter at GMyReviews. You can find the podcast at GMyReviews.com, as well as iTunes and the podcast alley. Hit me up, see what happens.
Yep, and you can see me on Twitter at DJR lost his name.
Does Buzz have an ID? Google Buzz. Does anybody care?
Does
anyone use it anymore? No?
I think it's just, you know, LinkedIn people.
Yeah, I suppose you could Facebook me at DJ I Lost His
Facebook
Name too.
Me.
And then, yes, we have websites.
Anyways, good night, and I hope to be talking from Toronto soon.